grace to you and peace. My name is Patrick Ward, and on behalf of my colleagues at Trinity Church in the city of Boston, welcome to this Easter afternoon experience of the Emmaus Road. We've assembled here a sequence of music, of gospel, of prayer, and of a meditation, all in the intention of inviting you onto the Emmaus Road with us, and it is our hope that you will get outside and walk as you listen. It's our custom every Easter Sunday at Trinity Church to offer a service of Holy Eucharist as Easter Day begins to turn to evening. We always tell this story from Luke's Gospel of two of Jesus' disciples having fled the failure and turmoil of Jerusalem, who then encounter a stranger on the Emmaus Road. They invite him into dinner, and in an instant, their risen Lord is made known to them in the breaking of the bread. We're glad you've decided to spend this time with us this afternoon, and we will hold you in prayer as these days advance and as we live together as God's people into this joyous season of Eastertide.
Our podcast continues with the opening prayers. Let us pray. God of the pilgrimage, walk with us. Inspire us to see what you would have us see, to hear what you would have us hear, and to go where you would have us go. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, as this Easter day draws near to its close, grant that we who celebrate the joy of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with a musical piece from Henry Vidiver, a Trinity chorister who will offer his original work for solo piano entitled New England Fantasy. Henry studies composition at the New England Conservatory. Thank you.
lesson from Luke will be read to us by Listo Fisher, a longtime lay reader and now serving on Trinity's vestry. The lesson will follow with a musical piece entitled Open My Eyes, Lord, by Jesse Menabuson, sung and played by parishioners Felicia and Miguel Sandler. Felicia says, "I am a member of this beautiful parish, nurtured and sustained by the love and care of the people in this place, especially in this time of separation. My son grew up here and considers Trinity his home. Christ is risen. Jalapeno." Enjoy.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Now on the same day, the first day of the week, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for ghosts does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, This is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The word of the Lord.
To be astonished. Walking. In the past days of social distancing, we have been encouraged by articles in the news, friends, and mental health experts to get outside for fresh air and take to the road for a walk. Dogs are happier than ever as the leashes come out more often. Our dogs, as confused as they might be by our ever-constant presence at home, are always happy to don their harnesses for another stroll around the block. Walking clears the head, offers time to ponder and reflect, and combines motion with contemplation. Walking often takes down barriers when people are in conversation. There's less intensity of piercing eyes looking across a table at one another when moving together side by side. And for some, it offers a freedom to share more openly. This evening, we meet two followers of Jesus walking side by side on the road to Emmaus, speaking intensely with one another about all that has taken place. And as they make the 7-mile journey towards Emmaus, a stranger appears and breaks into their conversation. He wants to know what they're talking about, and with some exasperation, whether because of the interruption or because of his somewhat oblivious question of what things do you speak, to the biggest news coming out of Jerusalem. Jesus, the prophet, the one claiming to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the one we loved, has been crucified and his body has gone missing? Where have you been? We had hoped, we had so hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Have you ever had this happen to you? You're in the throes of a conversation only to be interrupted by someone wanting to be included? Or worse, have you ever been in a sad and difficult conversation with a close confidant only to have a stranger jump in and really change the whole intimacy of the moment? Imagine how Cleopas and his companion must have felt, and that loss of hope, what aching their hearts must have felt. Have you had those moments in your own life? Have you felt that ache in your very bones from the loss of a hope you had once held? Their hearts were heavy with grief, but this stranger, this intrusion into their walk, calls them out. O ye of little faith, the prophets revealed all that was to pass. Don't you remember? The Son of God would have to suffer before he was raised. It is all there in the scripture. The stranger became the teacher. They listened intently as he recounted the lessons of Jesus. I wonder why they weren't more irritated. Were the stranger's words comforting, or did they seem to miss the point of this suffering moment? But as he spoke, they journeyed on, the couple quietly taking in all that was said. But as they approached Emmaus and the stranger began to move ahead as to go off into the night, they called out and invited him to come and stay with them. After all, it was getting late. It was this moment of hospitality and welcome to the stranger. It's a lesson taught over and over in Luke's gospel and reiterated in this moment. Can you think of a time in your own life when you welcomed a stranger in? How did this challenge you? Or how might it have strengthened your faith? As Cleopas and his companion and their guest gathered around the table for dinner, the guest took the bread, blessed it, and broke it. And then the lightning bolt hit. The realization dawned, and imagine the gasp as they realized it was the resurrected Jesus sitting right there before them. Weren't their hearts burning on the road? Why not until this moment? What lifted the blinders of grief to the good news of this moment? Was it not until the scripture was retold and the breaking of bread occurred that the fullness of the resurrection could be understood? Yes, and isn't it still true? It is still in the revelation of Scripture and the healing of breaking bread with one another that we too meet the resurrected Lord. Can you think of a time in your own life when you were blind to Jesus walking right there beside you? Have the Scriptures and the breaking of bread in the Eucharist ever brought new light of revelation to you? William Barclay, one biblical scholar, calls this gospel lesson the sunset road that turned to dawn. These crestfallen disciples believed that the sun had set on their lives and the good news of Jesus had not been sustained and their Savior had been crucified. But in that moment of recognition, at the sharing of the bread, there was a new day. Barclay writes this: the Christian goes onward not to a night which falls, but to a dawn which breaks. What a vivid moment. It's no wonder that so many artists have depicted this story in their paintings and drawings. The artistic challenge to capture the surprise moment, the pinnacle of the story, to bring it to life on the canvas. What a feat to attempt. This evening for our formation time, we will be considering one such painting about this text. Michelangelo Merisi Caravaggio, brilliant Italian painter from the Baroque period, painted not one, but two paintings entitled The Supper at Emmaus. In each, Caravaggio told the power of the resurrection story through color, contrast, light, and lines. The first one, painted in 1601, now hangs in the National Gallery in London. When I first saw this painting, it took my breath away. It was a very large and horizontal piece of the two disciples, around a table with Jesus, while an innkeeper stands by watching. The play of light in the picture grabs you almost immediately, and facial expression from the disciples holds astonishment and surprise. While one clenches the table, ready to leap up, and the other with arms thrown wide, their life-size bodies also speak of shock and amazement. And in the same way that the two who are astonished and jump off the canvas, Jesus has a serene, divine, calm expression. It's a piece that holds all of the brilliant good news of Easter and invites the viewer to come and be at the table for this time, for this moment, for this revelation. Like so much good art, we are given a glimpse of resurrection through the artist's genius. And tonight's discussion will undoubtedly be rich, so please join us. And finally, what's after revelation? After astonishment? After resurrection? After walking all those miles to Emmaus in sadness, Cleopas and his companion leap to their feet, hurrying to return to Jerusalem to share the good news with the other disciples. This resurrection story ends with going out to share that their hopes have indeed been realized and Jesus is alive. I wonder what Easter news is bubbling up in our hearts tonight. I wonder where God will break forth, and if our hearts will burn, and if our eyes will see. Let us now pray. Open our eyes, Lord. Without the gift of your revelation, our eyes are kept from recognizing you. Appear before us, suddenly, unexpectedly, in all your glory, so that we too may proclaim to a world in despair that we have seen the risen Lord. Amen. As our podcast continues, here is a gentle reprise of Now the Green Blade Riseth from last night's Service of Light, sung by staff singers Sophie Michaud, Janet Stone, and Fausto Miro, with Adam Simon on guitar and Richard on flute. Following this piece, the Reverend Coleman will offer us some prayers for this Easter evening.
Oh, Let us give thanks to God for the multitude of blessings he showers upon us, for our lives and for those whom we love, for the beauty of this home God has created for us, for our families and our friendships. Let us give thanks to the God of life. Let us pray for the church, that it may carry forward the redemptive works of God, for our clergy and our bishops, for the many lay people who serve the church and serve the world through the church. Let us pray for the nations and the peoples of the world, that the powers that oppress and destroy may decline, and that justice, peace, and prosperity be lifted up. Let us pray for those who are sick, those who suffer, those who struggle, and who have died, that the hope born of Easter give them peace, acceptance, and renewal, and that through their struggles they may come into closer communion with the God who redeems and restores. God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought into their perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you again for taking time to be with us this afternoon. I was joined today by musicians Richard Webster and Bart Dahlstrom, Henry Vidiver, and Felicia Sanders. Prayers were offered by Morgan Allen and Karen Coleman. Listo Fisher read to us from Luke's Gospel, and the meditation was offered by Paige Fisher. A little bit later this evening at 7 p.m., Trinity will gather via Zoom to conclude our day with a look together at Caravaggio's painting, Supper at Emmaus. We hope you can make time for that, and we look forward to being with you. Peace be with you, and may you remain well and healthy in this season of Eastertide.
And one final note. The musical piece that both opened and will close our worship comes from Pastoral on a Theme of Palestrina by Richard Webster, played by him on the flute and accompanied on the organ by his husband, Bart Dahlstrom. It's in the style of an Italian Sicilano, which is characterized by a walking feel. You'll recognize the tune as Hymn 208, The Strife is O'er, a beautiful way to begin and end our time this evening.